All right, this is the Painted Fire Podcast. I'm Jay, and this is Bobby Sue,
my brother. How do I do?
How do you do? Well, I suppose. So before we get started, just some apologies about our title, our name. I believe we called it All the Things last time or something like that to begin with, and then I cut it out crudely, I might add, to put our new name, our real name, in Painted Fire.
I thought you were going to apologize to me.
Oh, why would I do that?
Because I'd just woken up and you were like, let's do a podcast.
Right. Anyway, so I guess what we're going to talk about is how he's going to tell you that I picked the name, and mostly because I'm the intelligent one. But Painted Fire is a phrase created by Mark Twain. It's from a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court. The quote that I was reading that made me think that this was a good title is, words are only painted fire. A look is the fire itself. So I picked that because I thought that kind of went with, you know, what we're doing, like what we're trying to accomplish, I suppose, in this podcast. What do you think, Brian? I mean, sorry, Sue. Bob.
Yeah. I'd say that's a pretty good summation of our goal here.
That's a great contribution. Thank you so much. Okay, so before we lead in to our topic for this episode, just gonna kinda check in. How you doing? How I'm doing.
I guess how are you?
Well,
since I don't matter.
I'm
the one who's been at home because of a COVID scare.
Everybody's been at home because of COVID scare. Come on.
But I've been at home. Like, I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't gone to the grocery. I'm low on food.
Oh, man. You haven't been able to go to Walmart?
I'm a Kroger guy.
I suppose more people who are regular go to Kroger. Walmarts can get scary. No offense. Or offense, whatever. Well, I was thinking of this incident that I had where I actually worked. I did some work. I've just been sitting around playing video games, but I did some physical labor outside. I bought a sledgehammer. Yeah. I bought a sledgehammer and I crushed an entire
work
sleeve. What's it called? Oh boy, am I coming off powder puff here. What's the thing? What's it called? Slab of concrete. That's right. I got it. So I smashed up. Anyway, I did it. I did it so much so that I wrecked my body.
Wait a minute, that sleeve of concrete. Oh, you messed up your body?
A little bit, yeah. My back and my shoulders and my abs. I was just hammering away.
Oh, jeez. I feel so sorry for you.
Yeah, I know. I got so hot.
My gosh. Hot out here. Yeah, it's been so hot.
So hot. I sweat a lot. I'm actually sweating right now, and it's air-conditioned room. But, I sweat so much that I forgot things, you know, and that's dangerous. But, yeah, I smashed up some concrete, so I'm accomplished. I feel good about my week. How about you?
I've just been playing video games. So I feel pretty good about myself.
Why?
Because I remembered what work is when you said you did work. That's a good one.
Right? It's true. It's not something.
It took me a second, but I was like, oh yeah, right. You do stuff.
You could still do stuff. Some people might call this work, you know, me putting up with you.
What do you mean?
Nothing. All right. So you're clear of COVID or no?
Well, it seems like I'm totally fine. My other roommate's totally fine. And the guy who is tested positive, everybody around that he was actually hanging out with, because like I said, I wasn't really hanging around him. Anybody he was hanging out with didn't test positive. They tested negative. So, and he said he's felt totally fine. So he's starting to think it might be a false negative. But I mean, we're still playing it safe and we're still going to stay at home just in case. So we're not spreading it anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's for the best. False negatives. I don't buy into that. I think that it just affects people differently. So, I mean, don't tell him, just chill out. Don't let him hug his grandmother, that kind of thing.
Well, you know about all of the extra tests that were made, right?
Yeah.
Or like from all the different companies that...
Tell me about it. Name a company.
Well, I can't name a company, but I remember when it was happening though, they were saying like, hey, we need, like they were commissioning random outside non-governmental companies to make PPE and all these different tests that aren't as good as they're not like approved tests. They're not, they haven't been like looked at and been verified. They're not like fully verified tests. So a lot of them are giving false negatives or false positives.
Yeah.
That's just something's happening.
Okay.
Is that not interesting? Is that not?
No, it's fine. I just, you know, I think we have talked about it before. I think you told me like we talked about suing people because they gave false positives or wrong tests. And
remember that was a horrible point made by you though.
Well, I mean, I was just trying to figure out a way to get you to say PPE again. PPE.
What?
It sounds like pee-pee. Come on. Don't. It's not fun when you're that.
Well, perhaps we should move on.
Right. Okay. So today, this episode, we're going to discuss truth. Is there such a thing as truth?
Are you asking?
Yeah, I want to know.
Is there such a thing as truth? I mean, again, I'd say yes and no.
That's a very thorough and well thought out answer. I appreciate it. Thank you for taking your time, folks, for tuning in here. What? Come on. More?
I don't understand why everybody needs more. You know, why isn't that
yes
enough?
And no? Well, because the answer to a question is generally, I mean, both isn't a good answer. It's not a satisfying answer, you know.
Well, everybody has their own truths. Something can be true to somebody, and then, you know, that same thing could be considered not to be true.
Do you have an example from your life?
Example from my life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean... I think I'm pretty cool, but ooh, you know,
yeah,
you don't.
That's a good example. Well, but can you be? And now, when we're talking about,
I mean, religion. If I, you know, my God is my God, and He's the only God, and you know, same thing for every other religion.
Who's your God?
There's your answer.
Who's your God?
Who's my God?
Yeah.
Everybody.
That's
I don't think one. We want to get into what my beliefs are.
Not today.
I think you should be leading this a little bit better.
Okay. So I'm going to touch on this. So is there such a thing as truth? We're talking about like objective versus subjective, right? Is there objective truth? Like, is there one truth that everyone has to, you know, subscribe to? Or not has to, but... can choose to or whatever, because choice enters into truth too, because people can choose to not accept, because you can't, I mean, believe it, you have to believe it, but you can choose not to accept it, right? So yeah, I think that there is an objective truth.
I don't know about that.
Well, tell me why.
I would say that your beliefs and what you find to be true is purely dependent on your free will. And free will, described by John Hobbes, so everybody has the ability to choose what they want to do in whatever moment they want to do it in. But he points out what free will is, and then he explains that people don't have free will. You and I don't have free will. Because whatever, so for in this example, I would have to look up the exact quote to do him justice, but I can give an example that can kind of get the point across.
So about this, you look up the quote. You look up the quote while I talk about how your stuffed tiger is probably on my side. Okay, Hobbes, Calvin and Hobbes. It's a joke.
It's Thomas Hobbes, but that's
okay. But so free will. I mean, you can have you can choose to say or believe, I guess. If you think that you can choose to believe things, but you can choose to believe, like, for instance, there, you know, life is an illusion, right? You can choose to believe something like that, but that's something that you could also, that I would argue is an objective fact, right? Or not that it's an illusion, that it's reality. Like what we live, what we see, what we feel, like everything going on around us, everything going on millions and millions of miles through space in another universe on a planet has, you know, similarly evolved life. Like all these things are real and they're happening. But there are people who, despite, you know, being able to prick their finger and bleed and feel pain and feel love and to feel hunger, these people still think that reality is an illusion, right? So that is an example, and it's like a broad, I think it's an example of objective truth. That's something that really you can't dispute. Like whether you choose to subscribe, to believe it, to accept it, I guess. I keep saying believe, but I mean accept. I mean, whether you choose to accept it or not, it's still, it's truth, right? So that give you enough time?
Yeah, I found it.
Okay.
So I'll just read it the way it appears. This is sort of a paraphrase. I'll sort of paraphrase it because the English and philosophy books can be a bit strenuous. Basically, man is free in that he has the liberty to do if he wills and to do what he wills, as far there are no external impediments concerning the action he intends. But he is not free to will or choose his will. And this sort of brings in the argument of determinism and the fact that it's like your environment, it's everything around you that kind of determines who you're going to be and what your life is going to be like. So to put that in like simpler terms, if I want to fly, I have the ability to I have that will, like I want to fly, but I can't. Like I physically, I'm not, like I can't.
Well, and what about like an airplane? What about a hang glider?
I mean, like literally myself, I want to feel all the air on like my, like I want to fly like a bird, like Superman. That's what I mean. I'm not looking for you to poke holes in a hypothetical argument.
I mean
like a fantasy will. Like maybe it doesn't have to be flying, but I want to walk through a wall. Like I want to go into the bathroom through my wall, screw using the door.
So you're kind of talking about free will versus objective truth, because the objective truth is the wall is there and that you can't walk through it. The objective truth is that people don't have wings or the ability to fly without assistance. So is that what you're trying to say? Like,
I'm just trying to say, when it comes to people's truths in their perspectives, I feel like the truth is very dependent on their life's determinism and like how they've gotten and lived there, how they've gotten to where they are and how they live their life. They're like, everybody's truths are going to be dependent on that, like that fact of like how they're going to live their life. So what's true to Americans is like could obviously probably not going to be true to somebody on the other side of the world.
Well, I like the idea of determinism, and I like I don't necessarily like it, but I like the idea of it.
I mean, it makes sense
with our previous topic. You know, we're talking about racism. So like part of the problem in this country is that there is a certain determinism, right? If you're a young adult or if you're a young black male, right, and you're out walking around, like people see you and they feel that they label you as this person with this life, right? And they treat you differently. So I feel like,
I mean,
socioeconomic, same thing. Like if you're born and you live in a certain neighborhood, like it's determined that you're going to be a certain type of person, right?
I mean, essentially, I mean, there are the cases where, you know, there are people that rise through the socioeconomic classes, but I mean, that can, and that could be the argument against determinism, but again, it is still sort of determinism because that person who is living in those conditions, there's something about those conditions that made them want to get out of those conditions. Like it's also, it's hard to get out of the way of, and I think part of it is that people don't like to think about how determinism is like an actual effect on everybody's lives. Cause everybody likes to think that, you know, God or whatever is out there guiding them, doing and just making sure that they're always on the right path. Like, and whatever religion you, you know, you follow, I've studied several different religions. I don't keep myself to one. I keep my mind open. That's not to say anything about anybody else. I think religion is a good tool to use in terms of,
breaking up slabs of concrete. Oh,
yeah. I don't know about that much.
Well, I was going to say it's also an extreme minority because you were talking about people who climb the ladder. It's an extreme minority. Not everybody has the opportunity to climb the ladder. Not everybody can climb the ladder. Like there's not enough room on the ladder. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's so truth. We're talking about truth, another objective truth. And like I feel like crap even thinking this and saying this. And I'm just being honest. I'm just telling you how I'm thinking. But it seems like no matter what, you know, racial, social, you know, economic aspects aside, not everybody can be, you know, the best or at the top. Not everybody can, like the American dream seems like one of those things that's not truth. Like how can the American dream be
truth? I was just thinking on that actually. I mean, well, a little bit different, but I was thinking just like, yeah, like what is the truth about American freedom? Like what, you know, similarly to that point, but go ahead.
It's just like, look at us, we're two Caucasian males. Do you feel like you've climbed any American dream ladder?
No, not really. I feel like I've just been playing chutes and ladders.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've done well and I'm happy with my life. You know, I like there are some circumstances I would change, but I mean, I make enough money. I'm in debt like most people, but you know, I'm married, I have children, I'm happy, but at the same time, like I'm not making buku bucks. I'm not living in the big house. You know,
I'm happy if you were,
and I don't think I would either. And that's funny too. Like that's another kind of truth. That's like a self truth though. Like what kind of person would be happy like that? A lot of people probably, but why not me? And you know, but
I mean, I don't know if even a lot of people, I think a lot of people think that they would be happy like that, but I think, you know, it's like the Scrooge tale, you know, you have all this money, but you don't have like actual human things that keep you around. Like you have material wealth, but you have no like relationship wealth, or you don't have any sort of social wealth or anything. Like you just have money.
Well, and this is, it just makes you talk about money.
Like, well, and another point
false. I'm gonna go.
Well, yeah. Like,
let me go.
Let me go. I'm quick. No, yeah. I was just gonna finish.
That's what she
said.
Gonna
finish.
Yeah, that's what she said.
I was just gonna finish. Just let me finish. Just let me finish. I was just gonna say that. And when you do have money, like a mental health thing could come into come into effect when, like, people that, you know, didn't like you before are now talking to you, but they don't really like you for you. They like you for money. And that's what I was going to say, but you go.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say money in general is like the biggest falsehood. Like, yeah. Money isn't real. Anything that we attribute value to has value. So there's no truth in money, since we're speaking about truth. So, like, if truth has some sort of impact on happiness, like whether it's your personal truth, whether it's just the information that you have access to, and how confident and secure you feel in your environment, in your society, whatever, like money, it makes perfect sense. There's like a very logical connection to why money makes people feel insecure, because it's not real. Like, we just use it for our society and to, you know, our economies and all that. And I mean, it works. We've survived, we've thrived, but it's definitely not true. Not in the sense that I think that we're speaking about. You agree with that?
I mean, no, I definitely do. I mean, it's a means to an end to make people do things. And what did you say last time? You said something about racist acts in history, and something about, like, they were just, and I said, I don't think they were always due to just being racist. Some of the things, like, I'm sure if we were to point out specific things, like, obviously they were probably meant in hatred, but there are a lot of things, like, especially in older history, where, like, there would whatever government type in any civilization, like, there would be these things where it's like, hey, we're going to make up this sort of like ritual where we are appeasing the gods by sacrificing 1,000 people in one day or whatever. And if that country or civilization was going through a drought where they couldn't make food, it's like, no, you're not appeasing the gods. You're just getting rid of 1,000 mouths to feed, you know, but everybody else thinks like they feel like vindicated, like they're helping the state or the world.
Speaking about falsehoods, people think that, like, the government, like, created COVID or, you know, AIDS, yeah, to control the, you know, homosexual population and all that. Like, that's not true, right? But, I mean, yeah, I get that. And I can't remember anything I said last week. I had to remember. My brain that's boiled.
Fine. I know I keep going to Thomas Hobbes a lot, but there's another thing that popped up in my mind. It's in the Leviathan, one of my favorite books. He talks about like the origins of language and the uses of it on mankind. And he goes over like four, I think, misuses of language, and like how it will serve to like hurt mankind, I guess.
How does language hurt mankind?
I'll use two words to pretty much sum it up for you. Donald Trump. I mean, how do words not hurt mankind? Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean...
The adage, the quill's mightier than the sword. Propaganda.
Propaganda, for sure.
I'm trying to find it, and I can't.
But I mean, Donald Trump is only as dangerous as the platform that supports him, right? And the platform right now that's supporting him is
the platform to where he can say that, though.
Right. Well, I mean, yes. I mean,
he's misusing his speech where he knows that it's going to a mass amount of people.
Yeah, anybody can say anything anytime. Like, even if you live in a totalitarian society, like, you can still say it. You might get like thrown in a gulag, but the point is like,
I mean, and again,
biggest issue is that he's allowed to do it, and he's able to do it on such a broad scale because of social media.
But without Twitter,
he would be so ineffective, and I don't think he would have even won the election without Twitter. So,
well, I mean, that's a hypothetical. We have
Twitter. It's a megaphone, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's still, this is insight coming from 1668. I don't think this is like purely based off of
whoa.
Man and nature, like starting from the very beginning.
So you're quoting someone who's not on TikTok right now?
Right. I thought TikTok I'm not interested.
TikTok. I'm not interested.
Didn't Papa John go on TikTok and now it's just like, oh man, he's on TikTok and you know, it's done.
We could talk about social media on another episode. I think that'd be a good one. But
I'll have to talk about a terrorist if we're going to talk about social media.
Spoilers. Is that a teaser?
Tune in next time. Right.
Apparently, Brian talk knows about a terrorist.
Yeah.
All right. So were you going to say that Hobbes thing?
I mean, it's a very long quote, but basically the first one is when men register their thoughts wrong. And I guess, you know, you basically, you're trying to say what you're trying to say, but it comes out wrong, which happens. I mean, we've probably done it like five times between, or both of us this whole time. Secondly,
everything I say is perfect. Screw you.
Yeah. Oof. All right. And then secondly, when they use their words metaphorically, that is in another sense that they are, or that they are ordained for, or thereby deceived by others. So, you know, and I guess that sort of sticks to the first one, but you know, you sort of know what you're saying is, you know, you know, you're using a metaphor, but others might not know that.
I don't even think that's what's happening. Honestly, I think what's happening.
No,
is,
that's his excuse a lot, though. I mean, well,
that's on his
like,
tactic.
Oh, no, I was just, you know, I was being like extreme. Like, I don't, you know.
His tactic is that he's pissing in your face, right? Yeah. He's literally peeing in your face. You can see the pee. But then he tells you, he looks at you dead in the eye while he's peeing in your face, and he says, "I am not peeing in your face." And
yeah,
people
believe
it. That's
actually the third one. That's thirdly, when by words they declare that to be their will, which is not. So that's lying.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens.
Books. Like, it's like that's not words just to say lying is bad.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's like truth, it doesn't matter to, obviously, our president. It doesn't seem to matter to the people who follow our president. I mean, it might not even matter to most of the people who despise the president. Should the truth matter? Is everybody doing it wrong?
That's the hard thing about truth is that I would say objective truth does exist, but does it matter to people though? I don't know. I think that's a tough one to discuss because I would say a large population of human beings in what we have in recorded history and societies, most of them were probably living under false pretenses. Like if you think about Rome, the, you know, one of our oldest like civilizations that we have on record, and have a lot of stuff from record. I mean, they went through so many things. Like they went through so many wars, so many conflicts. I mean, they were like almost consistently at war. And there was like 2 or 3 years where Hannibal was just ravaging his way through the Italian peninsula. And I mean, throughout this time though, I mean, I'm sure Romans thought that Rome was the greatest civilization in the world the whole time, I imagine. Even probably through one of their civil wars. I mean, like, and to their credit, they were, but you know, obviously they had their flaws and there was no way for them to know that at the time.
Well, and the biggest difference between then and now is we're in the information age. Like you can go on the internet, at least now, maybe not as much as you could have 10 years ago, but you can go on the internet and you can get pretty much whatever information you want. Now it's become more complicated to parse that and to figure out like what is true, like what's actually fact and what's actually fiction.
That's a very good point.
But at the same time, I think like you talked about Rome thinking they're the best. I mean, that's what America is now. But
it's honestly very scary if you look at the fall of Rome and you look at where we're at right now. There's a lot of similarities.
Well, and I think I mentioned American exceptionalism last week in some context that I don't remember, but like that's one of the biggest falsehoods I think that the civilization or the society, the American society, is guilty of spreading, because thinking you're the best at everything, it doesn't feel like, A, if it's not true, it feels like cheating. It feels like it's just not, you feel phony, right?
Arrogant.
And then, yeah. And then the other part of it is like,
if you're welcoming the hubris.
True. But it also, if you feel like you're the best, like what else is there for you to do? Like if you're the apex, you're the top of the heap, you know, everybody's striving to get to you. Like you have less motivation to strive to be better. Right. And I think that's a big thing in our society is we don't care to fix healthcare because we think it's the best. We don't care to like revamp our, you know, cities and our police force because we think that we were the greatest. You know, we're the only ones doing it right, even though there are other countries out there with, you know, that are having their own successes, and that could be argued that their society is, you know, functioning at a higher degree than ours. It's just,
I don't know. I think a huge wake up call is just for people to realize how many people we have incarcerated, and then that take that population percentage to the world's incarcerated population, and it's just, it's absurd.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd. I have this like nursery rhyme, or I don't know, Aesop's fable kind of thing in my head, like you're only as strong as the weakest chain in your fence, or that was really, really bad. That was like the chain and the fence, the chain, the links on the fence.
Right. Yeah. You see. The fence links.
Right.
And they're rusty or something.
Right. Right? And one is rusty, then the rest of the fence is garbage.
Yeah.
Because you could just go through that little chink in the fence. Oh my God. You understand.
Yeah, I'm very aware of what you're saying.
Yes. Okay. Oof, that was hard. Thanks for bearing with me. But yeah, and I believe that in all things. Like if
your team's only as strong as the weakest link is what you wanted to say.
Yeah, or the worst.
Yeah. But yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. An apple's only as ripe as the most rotten apple.
We can get past the metaphor now. Remember, we just said that was bad. And I think you just, that was an example of why metaphors can be bad.
I'm making it worse. Anyway.
Yeah, let's move on. Go.
I just feel like, I mean, look, I think the biggest busted part of our fence is sitting in the White House right now. So, you know.
I think it's not
true to say that America is exceptional, but go ahead.
I mean, it's not, but I mean, it's propaganda is what it is. I mean, yeah. And it's really out of perspective for people to be like, I mean, just thinking about like Russia, it's like, wow, Russia's this big, bad, like they think they're so great, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, if you look in a mirror, that's exactly what you're doing. You think that you're so great and you think that you're big and bad. I mean, like that's literally what Trump threatens people. Like how many times throughout his presidency? Like three? How many times are we going to send boats somewhere or send bombs somewhere or whatever?
He had the military parade through Washington, through the Capitol. And that's something that like Kim Jong-un does, right? And another thing is, and it kind of upsets me because we're not ever living in a true democracy. Because some people have access to voting that other people don't, and with the Electoral College, it's dicey. But like, it's these people that we're talking about. It's not Russia. It's Putin, right? It's Putin's administration. It's the people in power there, which is probably like a handful of people.
Oh yeah, tops. I mean they're autocratic, so
yeah. So
I mean, it's like when you talk about Chinese. I mean, it's really unfortunate because most of their identity is being contained by the autocratic system put in place, you know.
So yeah, we have like a handful of people, and that's the truth, right?
Oh no, we live in like a hidden oligarchy for sure.
We're all, the majority of people are just resigned to their fate. That's the truth, right? Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was saying with like, you know, that people just let God take the wheel. But I think that's a big mistakey.
Government do it too.
Oh yeah, it's this big, yeah, it's this form that has all this power, or you think it has all this power on you, and you don't, yeah, and you don't think you need to do things for yourself. Like, mom said that to me. She's just like, you don't think like
our mom.
Yeah. She's like, you don't think everything will work out if you just, you know, play it cool or whatever. I'm like, no, what are you talking? Like, I got to do stuff. Like, I got to, like, how are you telling me? Like, I've been sitting on my ass for 3-4 months and you're telling me like, maybe I should keep sitting on my ass and just wait for something to come around to me.
What's that impulse? What's the sentiment? Explain it to me. I don't get it.
I mean, I get the sentiment. It's like, stay calm and like, don't worry about it right now. Like, I understand that because it is best to stay calm in almost every scenario. I agree with that. And but I mean, there's a difference between staying calm and then just being, you know, stationary,
passive.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, I don't like I said, like, whatever your beliefs are, I don't mean to step on them, but I just don't think that, you know, leaving your life up to like something that's not actively impacting you is just, it's weird. Well, like, I don't know how. And then who do you blame? Do you like that? And then it's like that classic, you know, dramatic scene where like there's a person yelling up at this guy, like, damn you, God, for whatever this. It's like, no. I don't know. It's just, it's weird.
Well, and I also
lost in it. And it's like,
yeah, and I feel like there are a lot of unremarkable people out there because of that. Like, if they weren't just hanging out and letting things happen, like, who knows where they could be, right? Like, there's so many more people that there were before World War II and all that. But how many amazing people came out of that generation? Like, how many of those people didn't just let things happen? You know, I think this is a newer, I mean, granted, not alive during that time period, right? But I think this [S2] Right. [S1] Is a newer thing. Like, and blame it on whatever you want, but the truth is that, like, we're not as motivated to be special. Does that sound right?
Yeah, no, that's another thing with social media and technology. It's another terrorist point. Another plug. Tune in next week, terrorists.
No. I was just like, hey, welcome to the Pain and Fire podcast. You're not special and you don't want to be. Thank you.
Well, I think that's super important though, because I don't think I'm special. I don't think you're special.
Oh.
Yeah, I think,
and you're my brother.
Yeah, I know. I love you, but I think that's important for people to understand, though. And I think that's why Socrates was the wisest man in all of Athens, because he went to the oracle and was like, "Who is wise?" And she's like, "I don't know. You go find out." And he goes and tries to find out, and he comes back and he's just like, "Nobody's wise. Nobody's special. We don't know shit." You know, and I think that's so important. We could be, and I think, but the important part in that step though is acknowledging that you aren't automatically.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You're not always going to be protected. You know, you're not always going to be, you know, shining in God's light. You know, you're gonna go through hardships. I don't care who you are. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care. You're gonna face something that's gonna hurt you. You're gonna face hurt in your life.
Yeah, you're gonna face hurt in your life.
No, I mean, everybody. I mean, I would be super interested if there's an afterlife to meet whoever went through life without experiencing pain. Like, that would be an interesting ass conversation. You'd be like, yeah, no, I enjoyed every second of it.
The thing would be is he would be boring as hell, right? He would be like annoyingly.
Oh, that's interesting.
Dull.
It would have to be a he, but I also agree with that because women have to experience pain. Well, they don't
I'm
have
just gonna
to
alternate
They're
gender,
much more,
so.
Well, they actually do have to. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it would probably have to be a dude.
Like, well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, in our society and our civilization throughout
history, mean,
like, women have a harder time in general. So,
well, yeah, I mean, biologically speaking, I mean, they literally, I their bodies like destroy themselves every month or whatever. I don't know biology.
Wow. Ladies, your bodies are destroying yourselves. Well, get it's out like now.
You purge the eggs or something. Well, don't get out now. That's
purge
a bad...
the eggs.
Yeah.
Wow.
I said I wasn't a biologist. Okay. I don't know.
It's just your choice of vocabulary that's getting me excited. Purge your eggs, ladies. It's that time
what
of month.
You say? It's yeah. It's. I mean. But, purge okay, your let's eggs. Let's not stick on just, the on the exact.
Just say menstruation, dude.
Oh, you yeah, can I say, guess I could have. I couldn't.
I mean,
think of,
you don't
I
have
mean,
to be
you're
weird.
Telling me. You're talking about the. You're talking about rusty chains and stuff. I mean, I
was
got
just,
lost in
I
words.
Was stumbling over a metaphor. You were just butchering biology.
Yeah, I said that though. I prefaced that I'm not good with biology.
Wow.
Hey, at least I'm acknowledging it though.
I don't know that I can think of anything aside from purging eggs.
You, is that what you're you gonna take away today?
I think it is.
How would you put it?
I said like going through.
Here, I'll plug more terrorist talk. Oh God, am I faltering? Is this me faltering?
I mean, I don't think that it was offensive, but it was it was just a
it was,
odd
it,
choice.
I definitely feel like my prospective mates have probably gone down.
I mean,
although I'm
really
pretty sure that
anyway.
Number was yeah, it was pretty low yeah. number to begin with, so I'm not really that torn up about it. But I would like to move on.
Oh, yes. Let's try. You're going to have to do it though. You're going to have to say something unrelated to
yeah, I totally that. Forgot everything before that now. But I mean the pain and I mean that's like it's like when you and I think another thing is mental health in society. Like people lie about having pain all the time.
Yeah. And I think
I mean, I know I have
go through
you
pain.
Know I have.
Yeah. People also go through pain without realizing that it's pain.
Yeah, no, that's very true too. Yeah. I don't know. I think a better question and possible way to segue into a final topic is what about personal truth? Is that objective? Is that subjective? Is how do you figure out what that is? You know,
personal truth is subjective because you're the one who gets
you're this. Yeah. But how do you but how do you bridge your subjective truth to a bit objective truth? You know?
Yeah. Well, can we think of an example?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess let's
think how about money? Since we were talking about how money is like we need it. We attribute value. We understand that, right? We know that. But money is necessary. Is that a good one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, we kind of already did that, right? Our subjective truth is
right.
That money is
okay.
worthless.
Yeah, yeah.
But objectively, we need money, so we work.
I mean,
we
there are things that you have to sacrifice about yourself to get along with it in society. I mean, that's pretty much the point of democracy is that the majority get their way, the minority don't.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole point of that's like the. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, and also being able to have a voice in your government.
Well, right, but I mean, at that
but
point, though, if you're
not,
if you're, if you're not, yeah, yeah, if you're not a part of the majority, though, a lot of the times your voice isn't going to be really heard. I mean, you'll technically be heard because you'll have casted your vote, but you'll have been in the minority 9 times out of 10. So, are you really being heard at that point?
So the subjective truth is knowing that, but being okay with. Like something else happening, so like Donald Trump. Like
I mean, that would have to be the bridge. That's not just subjective truth, because subjective truth can be whatever you hold dear to yourself or whatever you believe to yourself.
Right. Well, if you say, I mean, just universal healthcare. If that's something that you believe is a fundamental right, and you know that about yourself, if you say elect like Joe Biden and he doesn't go for universal healthcare, you know he's not going to do it. Like, but you still support him, even though you know that's not your truth. Is that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that starts to come down to reason. And I actually wanted to get into reasoning a lot earlier than now.
But knowing your truth is the way to determine your reason, like what you're willing to compromise and how you're willing to compromise. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just knowing who you are.
But I think discovering your truth, you need to be, I mean, I don't think you should be like, I know things until, I mean, I don't know. I don't even feel like I'm comfortable saying like, I know things. That's why I feel like I always
say
like, hey, I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
I think honestly, you should never, I'm uncomfortable with you reading directly from a book, if I'm being honest.
I was earlier. I didn't take that bad.
Skipping words.
You asked me to do this. So what does that say about your reasoning and judgments?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I don't know about, what are you afraid of? You should be afraid of yourself. Damn.
Shouldn't everybody be afraid of themselves?
Yeah, I think so. That's kind of what I was getting into.
Okay, well.
You should, like critical thinking, you know, and like critical reasoning. Like that's what makes an intelligent person intelligent.
It's the hardest thing to teach a person too.
And we don't teach it in America.
Well, we try to. I try to.
I don't think we do. I mean like an actual like morals and ethics class where you learn like actually how to conduct yourself.
Hey, but
like, you learn the consequences to doing all these things, these poorly designed things. Because it's not like we don't have millions and millions of examples.
Well, if we're talking about subjective truth, though, how can another person teach another person their subjective truth? You can't.
I mean, it happens. It happens all the time.
Well, that's. I think that happens by delivering the objective truth, by receiving objective truth and parsing it through your subjective lens.
Think about what propaganda is. That's subjective truth being thrown up as a subjective truth to people.
But if you know that it's subjective, if you understand that there's
a lot of people can't make that connection though, because that's what I was getting into with critical thinking,
and that's a whole other issue of education in our country. But
I mean, I think it just comes down to trying to cherishing yourself and your mind and just really thinking like, hey, I gotta get this right. Like I want to know how to be good. Like I want to know how to live a good life. I want to know these things.
How can you do that if you hate yourself?
Well, I hate myself and I've been trying to do it. So I don't think it's
well, maybe that bad. You don't really hate yourself.
I don't know.
I mean, because there are a lot of people out there and I'm not necessarily
I would say that now I'm much better with myself. I'm on better terms, but for a long time, I mean, especially while I was in college, especially while I was in college. I mean, you know, due to stress and a lot of other things, but mostly things that happened. I mean, I just was in a bad place, you know, and I didn't like myself and haven't for a while.
I mean, that's pretty much my whole teen years.
But I know, I think a lot of people go, and that's why I was saying earlier. I would be so surprised if I were to die, and there's an afterlife, and somebody was like, "Didn't you love it down there? Didn't you just like have the best time always?" Like, well, no. I had a good time, but like not always.
that's why I was saying that too, because I want to address it for people who don't have an easy time doing that. Like some people hate themselves so much that they don't care if they get better. Like they want to be like their truth in their mind is that they're garbage and that they should be treated like garbage by a spouse or girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, whatever, friends, you know, they should just treat themselves bad by doing drugs, drinking, whatever.
That's when I would recommend philosophy studies. I know that's like my prescription for everything, but I mean, no, really, I think that's a huge problem. Because I'll talk about this terrorist one more time. It's the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski.
Jesus.
Yeah. I had to read his manifesto for college. I'll preface that. I don't just read crazy people's manifestos for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, although I wouldn't necessarily care if I did. Like, I'd
stop qualifying it. For God's sakes, just whatever you're gonna say about Ted Kaczynski at this point, just say it.
Well, he wrote his manifesto about technology and society, and it's alarmingly, it's scary how accurate a lot of his deductions were about the effect on technology and society. He said that people's mental health was going to get worse and people were going to be depressed and like all these other things that are just like he visited the future. And, you know, of course he was the Unabomber. So his manifesto goes mostly unread because he went about spreading his knowledge wrong in the most heinous way. But I'm not saying poor guy. See, you tell me not to qualify it and then you try to at me. Come on.
Well, I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, I shouldn't do that. It should very much so be an art, separate the art from the artist sort of thing.
You
because
can be
that's insight.
A psychopath and still
and
have
offer insight.
Insight.
Yeah, 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 of course. But a lot of people won't think that. Like, if I told.
I don't think that's the same as the people that I'm referring to. I don't think I'm talking and trying to empathize with psychopaths. Maybe I am. I don't know.
I mean, I'm
thinking about young people primarily who, like, people our age, like, if we haven't figured it out, well, I should say my age because you're younger than me, but people my age, if they haven't figured it out by now, like, that sucks, but they're not my priority. They're not the ones I would be trying to reach with this information or this, you know, idea. Like, the young people, the people who are currently like at the prime of their life where they have all these choices and I, you know, things they need to start doing or should start doing or could start doing, like, now is the time to realize that, like, hating yourself is a waste of your energy. Like, everybody dislikes themselves, right? Like, that's, but I liked your message before, like what you were trying to say about how to change it, like how to make, you know, how to determine your truth and to act on it.
Right? In my personal experience, but I can say that, I mean, I went through depression. I'd say I'm probably still there. I think you'd probably agree with me.
Yeah, I don't think you'd go through it. I think that's something that you most likely have to deal with your whole life, but go ahead.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, and it literally, I found myself just in a random circumstance learning about philosophy. And the very first class I took, it was ancient Greek. And that might sound boring to a lot of people, but it was the most amazing class I took. And it was at a community college. And it immediately made me fall in love with the subject. It immediately gave me a new sense of self and a way of thinking. And the way of thinking was just, I want to know more. Like, I want to get to the bottom of humanity. Like, I want to know all of these different schools of thoughts that have been talked about in the last 2000 plus years. Like, 'cause that's a lot of time. And that's a lot of people who have been developing thinking for so long. And
that's great. And I agree and I support that. But think about everybody else who isn't going to join that class or even check out a book by Socrates. Like how do you get to them and help them? And maybe you don't have an answer. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Honestly, well, I was going to say, if you can't take a class, if you don't enjoy reading, and even if you do enjoy reading, these books are very hard to read. And like I'm saying that because it was very stressful for me at college because I had to like read the same passage like I like sometimes 10 to 15 times, like, or it, like there's just so much to digest in such a little amount of words, and the books are just so long too, so they're difficult reads.
You but sound like a millennial.
They are. What do you mean?
I just feel like that's some, like, that'd be in a book
a lot
of things
people
millennials
don't
say.
people
books
don't like
are
to
so
read.
Long, so many words.
Oh my God. There's a lot of people that don't like to read, you know? And I'm just, you're telling me to try to placate to a broader audience.
So well, I have suggestions as well. I mean, like, those books are great and, you know, they have that. But so well, does fiction.
I was going to say, to finish, I was just going to say, there are plenty of videos of lectures and stuff on YouTube. There's plenty of just
TikTok.
Of no, not TikTok, but there are lectures and stuff on YouTube. There.
You want to make a TikTok?
No, I don't want to make a TikTok. Stop talking about TikTok. I'm trying to TikTok. I'm finishing my point here. TikTok. Do you want to get to yours?
I had one.
I thought you did. You were interrupting me before. You're interrupting me now.
All right, TikTok. Okay.
Hang on. You haven't talked about Disney. You want to throw Air Buds or something in? Frozen 2, something about?
I'm trying to, you finish your thought and I'll see if I can wrap Disney in. All right. I'll do some Disney.
I pretty much did. There are ways to get this information without, like, it's available. I mean, it's you can go on YouTube, you can watch a lecture, you can look up explanation videos. One of my biggest suggestions is The Allegory of the Cave by Plato. It's a pretty short one. That's probably like 10 to 12 minutes, but it's a lot to digest.
I think a lot of kids do that in school too. You finished? Should I go Disney?
I am.
Go Disney or go home?
Go ahead. We could talk about The Allegory of the Cave, but
so you know, Captain America, Civil War. Okay. God. It is Disney. It's Marvel Disney, but it's Disney.
No, it's Disney.
So there was a truth that Tony Stark knew about how his parents died. Once he found out the objective truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly have no idea. Happening? He started to fight.
Can we talk about the cave?
Yeah, fine. Allegory of the Cave. Tony Stark sitting in a cave, right?
Oh my God.
So there's a fire behind him.
Oh, wow.
Him.
Do you know?
Yeah, I know the Allegory of the Cave. There's a fire behind him and it shows shadows, right? I can't remember where the fire is, but there's like shadows on the wall that makes him think there are people with him, but he's alone or something like that. But if you know it, you should be like jumping in.
So
well, I set it up.
Not necessarily. I think you got the position of the fire wrong, but the overall
just do me a favor and put Disney character put Disney characters in it.
I wasn't really going to talk about that. I was just going to summarize the point of it, but I guess I can. So you have Captain America, Hulk, Thor, and Iron Man facing a wall.
Got it.
On a ledge is a fire, a campfire going on, and on on the wall in front of them, they see shadows. That's what you said.
Exactly what I said.
You know, Hulk is this big hulking shadow, and you know, Thor is super handsome or whatever.
Shadow's handsome.
Yeah, Shadow's could be handsome. Oh. You've watched Community.
All right.
His shadow. And so basically, let's say Iron Man, or I guess, no, let's do Thor. Thor can fly. So Thor starts exploring outside of the cave. So all these people have known these shadows their whole life. And this is like an allegory or, you know, a metaphor for society and how society is portrayed and perceived by the people in it. And so Thor, though, he starts questioning. He starts wandering around. He gets curious. And he discovers that they're in a cave. He goes past the fire that's putting the facade in front of them, and he discovers that there is a reality. So the point of it is that
I feel like that would be Iron Man, not Thor. I think you
did
that wrong.
I did say Iron Man at first, but I said Thor was handsome, so I stuck with him.
Yeah, but you were wrong. Go ahead.
Fine. Iron Man joins him, and they fly out of the cave. They can't go both. Okay. Why
no.
can't I give them both? It's
because you're
Robert
ruining
Danny Jr.
the allegory.
All right, you're ruined. You ruined it.
It made it better.
Well, anyway, it's basically so Thor in this situation is a philosopher. Anybody can be a philosopher. You just have to like you have to make that choice to say that, hey, I don't know everything. And perhaps what's being presented to me isn't the whole picture. Maybe it's not the whole truth. And so by him side of the cave, he discovered a reality that he was not being given. Did I beat up Loki? Does that make sense? Yeah, I guess he beat up Loki or some shit.
I would have made that so much more entertaining, but that's fine.
It's not supposed to be entertaining. It's supposed to be. Did I get the point across?
I think the point is to search. The point is to wonder. The point is to ask questions.
It's to ask questions. It's the Socratic method.
We can't give you your truth. You certainly cannot give me or anyone else listening their truth. I think I like the allegory of the cave. It's a good allegory. You know what another good allegory is?
Yeah, and that's ancient. Isn't that awesome?
Well, do you know what another good allegory is?
What's that?
Allegory of the closet.
Okay.
I shouldn't have said closet. It was bad. I was gonna say mountain. I don't know. I was gonna say something better. Anyway, there's no other allegory of the whatever that I know of. All right. So, any final thoughts on truth?
I mean, question more. Find stuff out for yourself. Anything you do here, I mean, you know, you just gotta take it with a grain of salt. Do a little bit of research. Most people have a little device in their hands nowadays that you can just look something up, do your due diligence, you know, check and reference, and do your due diligence. Question, I guess.
My final thoughts would be
expand yourself.
Okay, interrupt my final thoughts. That's nice. My final thoughts. Would be.
Sorry, you go ahead.
My thought.
That's the last time I'll do that.
Okay. My final thoughts would be to did you say something?
No, I didn't actually.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So
did you want me to say something?
Forget my brain, my whole brain. Never stop asking questions. Like, never cement yourself on one topic, because it could change. You could be wrong. And that's the other thing that I think Americans suck at, like admitting they're wrong. Like, it's okay to be wrong. It doesn't make you less to be wrong. Being wrong is part of the process.
Makes you stronger, in my opinion. Right. If Donald Trump would go up there, hey, man, I was wrong, I would honestly like him a little bit better.
I know. 100%.
I'd be like, maybe he is human. Maybe he can. Maybe he does have, some ethics.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't get any votes from it because the people who vote for him just don't care. But, yeah.
Yeah, perhaps.
All right, final segment. Are you ready for this?
Oh, what's that?
Truth or Dare.
What?
Podcast edition. Truth or Dare, podcast edition. There's really no way to determine who goes first, so is it okay if I just ask you first? Truth or Dare?
The hell?
Truth or Dare?
I guess truth. What's this, the theme of the thing?
Okay.
Of the show.
I was hoping you were going to say Dare.
The hell are you going to dare me?
I don't know. Say something embarrassing or make you sing or something. It's fine. When's the last time you cried?
Within the last few days.
It doesn't sound specific enough to me.
Time isn't a thing anymore. I don't know. It could have been yesterday. It could have been 2 days ago. I don't know. I don't know where I am anymore, man.
Oh, okay. So it's literally just lost in the fog of life.
It's been recent. It was recent.
I thought you were being purposely vague. Okay.
No, I mean, it was no, like I genuinely, my days are gone. I don't even know what today is. Is it Sunday?
Monday?
That's Monday. Yeah. See? Where are you?
Current.
Man.
All right, your turn.
Shoot. Truth or dare, I guess. I mean,
what else would you say? There's only two options. Dare.
Dare?
I'll be the cool one.
I mean... Let's see. I dare you to do some sort of ASMR.
All right. All right. Let's see. Any requests?
Do something with your feet and your nipple.
I don't think that's ASMR, buddy. Okay. What you're asking for is fetish based, and I want nothing.
There's not. Okay. What do you have on your desk then?
I got lots of stuff. Here we go.
Get a pencil.
I got a lamp.
And then I dare you to just, fan the pencil through the book pages.
Wait, hold on. Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Hear that? There.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Now that's SMAR or whatever.
The balls are running between my toes.
Okay, you can stop that.
Okay, all right. Okay. That was fun. That was fun. You went to a weird place, but I followed you there, so it's my fault too. Hey, whatever.
Weird choice of words, but okay.
All right. Well,
can we stop?
Yeah, so thank you for listening to the second episode of Painted Fire Podcast. We will see you next time. Say bye.
Remember, next week, terrorists. Bye.